You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
A real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Crispy Compact Communique, the coronavirus impaired 2020 version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And don't fret, we are here to give you more interesting tidbits in sports, entertainment, and odd news. We are back from the Labor Day break and ready to dive into a lot of news. September is here, fall's about to crack open, football season's about to start, a lot of exciting things going on. But before we delve into all the headlines, Mike, how you doing? How was your Labor Day weekend? We were off. We had a nice best of episode, so
yeah,
we're well rested jumping into the fall season.
Yeah, it was good. Kept it simple. Just my parents had threw some burgers on the grill.
Burgers. let me have some burgers over there.
Some burgers. They threw some burgers on the grill. You know, kept it simple. I got a chance to start watching it's an older Netflix show, but they just had their second season come out, Umbrella Academy.
So
I was doing that and was watching part of the first season. The girlfriend is back from her work trip, so we caught up watching some Umbrella Academy. So it was just a good relaxing break to take.
Yeah, every now and then you got to have a break, and it always just seems to work out. Labor Day is kind of a good mediator, because that's like a significant, you know, for most years, you know, we have a significant chunk of the year done. We have, you know, some content to do a best of episode, and then we launch into football in the fall. So it's usually just a natural good break. Normally
we'd take that week off in like August, when I go down the shore and when you go down, but we didn't have that this year because everybody stayed home. Oh, I finally finished The Last of Us Part Two.
Oh no.
I forgot to mention
that.
Oh
no. Do we want to get into this?
That might have to be a separate episode.
Yeah.
So we have very different opinions about this game, I think. You've told me before you had a little bit of buyer's remorse. I didn't have buyer's remorse. But I can definitely see why this game was divisive. I absolutely understand why this game was divisive. I think it struck more of a chord with me than it probably did with you, but I don't know. If we talk about this now, it's going to derail the whole episode.
Yeah.
Maybe next week.
Right. Discussing The Last of Us 2, we might as well make it its own episode. That would be just bonkers to go over in detail.
It's a lot to digest.
Yeah. So I'm glad you finished that, Mike.
I know, finally.
On my video game front, I finished The Outer Worlds.
Really? Wow, that was pretty quick. Yeah, I didn't realize you made it through that fast.
Yeah, it was really good. I really was hunkering down, and I was trying to, you know, do as much as I could within the game. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
I've said it before, it made me wish Mass Effect was still a thing, but unfortunately, it's not a thing. It was fun. The only thing I would say, the ending was kind of just kind of ended, you know, like it wasn't like a grand,
it didn't have like a punch at the end. It was sort of,
it just kind of ended. So, I mean, look,
but the moment to moment was good.
Yeah. The 90% of gameplay you have before that is a lot of fun. And look, this is their first time doing a space exploration video game outside of Fallout. So I thought it was a very well done first foray into this kind of exploration Mass Effect style of game.
Cool. So if you had to give it a rating, or like, what were your pros and cons real quick? I'm just interested to know.
Okay, pros and cons.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, right. I wasn't preparing this, but pros. The humor is great. I love the humor in it. The game did not take itself too seriously. The combat system is pretty standard, but the customization options on the weapons are pretty cool. The dialogue options are really neat. I remember a couple weeks ago I mentioned here on the show that if your character is low in charm, you actually get a dumb option. So I'm kind of curious. I might go back and just play as a dumbass and see what the options are.
You're going to do a dumb playthrough?
Yeah, right? Instead of a renegade playthrough, I want a dumbass playthrough.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. There's little quirks in the game that are pretty cool that they put in there. Another one was I texted you about this. Is as the game develops, you can actually develop flaws for your character. So if you get stung too much by any sort of electric ammo or electric traps, there's an option that comes up that says, you know, if you're willing to gain more XP, you can with this flaw, but those electric shocks will hurt you even worse. So it's like a risk reward situation they set up. It's a really cool game.
That is interesting.
So I would recommend it. It was definitely worth the time. Yeah, just really the only problem really was kind of the ending, just kind of just blah blah blah, just ended. But that's
Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, they borrowed that page out of Mass Effect as well.
Yeah.
But in the end, I'd say it's worth your time. Especially if you can get it on sale, I'd say do it. So
good.
There you go. Random video game review. Yeah. Wasn't preparing for that.
They also have that DLC coming out for you. Did you hear about that?
What?
The Outer Worlds has DLC coming out.
Oh, yeah. In the future, yeah.
Yeah, right. So if you're looking forward to playing more of it.
Yeah. That also, I thought you were jumping to Control because I didn't get a chance to do that yet. So I gotta do that.
You gotta play that.
Yeah. All right. Now we're getting on a personal tangent. Let's stop that nonsense and tomfoolery immediately. We got to get to some actual news headlines. The first batch of topics revolve around sports, and before we get into football, the birth of football, we have to recognize the death of another sport. Hockey has officially come to an end in Philadelphia as the Flyers were eliminated by the New York Islanders in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Give the Flyers some credit. They were down 3-1 in this series and fought their way back to a game 7.
That's impressive.
But unfortunately, they were just gassed. By game 7, they just looked so slow compared to how the Islanders were ready to go. They were blanked in that game 4-0. Didn't get a goal on the board. But you know what? This team deserves a little bit of credit. They had a slightly above average team that finished in the top half of the Eastern Conference before the coronavirus hit, then rallied to earn the number one seed post-coronavirus, and unfortunately just ran into a really hot team with the Islanders. And that's pretty much all she wrote, unfortunately. There's going to be some question marks going into next season. There's going to be a couple of veteran players that, I don't know, they might want to consider shopping around, because they kind of have a tale of two teams right now where you have stars like Claude Giroux and JVR and they're getting up there, and then you have an influx of all this new talent, and it's going to be an there's definitely a gap in between those two groups on the roster, so it may be, I don't know, it may be time to start thinking in terms of what to do with those two groups.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you know, these teams have to let go of those really, you know, fan favorite type veteran players. You know, we've seen what happens when teams hold on to those types of players too long. Never ends up good. So at a certain point, you have to focus on the business aspect of it, you know, and focus on growing the team and getting younger rather than just keeping somebody around because they're likable and well-liked by the fans.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that's going to be the whole offseason, I think, for the Flyers to think about. And, yeah, it's sad to see the playoff hockey come to an end for the Flyers, because playoff hockey is so much fun. It's just so intense to watch and so interesting. But, unfortunately, the journey ends here for Philadelphia. And we'll let you know how things develop when we get to the Stanley Cup Finals and who eventually wins when that does indeed happen here on the Crispy Compact Communique. But for right now, Flyers, you had a good run. I wish you could have pulled out the Game 7, but it wasn't meant to be. All right, so there you go. It's
football time now.
Right, we put the Flyers casket into the ground, and the new dawn rises, and it's time for football. And Mike, take it away. We've got Eagles news to talk about before the season opener on Sunday.
Yeah, we got some Eagles news, a couple of news items about some veterans and fan favorites here. Offensive lineman Jason Peters will officially shift back to his left tackle spot after he gets a reworked contract. It turns out that offensive tackle Lane Johnson restructured his contract to make some room for Jason Peters to get a little bit of a bump in pay, you know, he was slotted originally in one of those guard positions, which doesn't get paid as much as a tackle position. So Jason Peters is like, look, if I'm going to move back to the tackle position, I want tackle money, which I think was, props on him for, you know, playing the business angle and doing what he's got to do. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I'm of two minds there. I'm a little split there. I'm like, it's like good for you, but also, man, you're like really putting the Eagles in a bad position here.
Yeah, you know? But you know what, Jason Peters, he's coming to the end of his career. He needs to make the money before he leaves. I don't blame
him. That's true. That's true.
I don't blame him one bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's what any of us would do.
Yep.
Right in our jobs, if you know things were in a corner, we'd be like, hey, yeah, I can definitely do it, but I'm going to need a little bit more.
Yep.
You know, that's how the business world works. So, yeah, even though it might not sit well with some people, let's get it, Jason Peters.
Yeah, I don't fault him at all.
Yeah, you're like 39. This is your last hurrah, you know? Then, interestingly enough, more contract talk. Tight end Zach Ertz, unhappy over his contract negotiations. This one might sit a little differently with you, Rich. Claims he wants to spend the rest of his career in Philly, but doesn't know if the feeling is mutual. And he says this leading up to game one. He sees Keitel and Kelsey get those huge contracts. Zach Ertz heading closer to 30. You got Dallas Goedert storming up behind him on his rookie deal. Do the Eagles have enough money to pay two top 10 tight ends?
They may not.
What do you make of this situation?
They may not. This is a minefield of a situation that the Eagles could be running into. And allow me to make the situation even worse.
Okay, go ahead. Do it.
What happens if to start off this season, however it happens, whether it's coronavirus or Carson Wentz goes down on an injury again or something happens, whatever. Let's say the Eagles start off this season 1-5, 1-6.
Right.
Or 2-5, 2-6. I think Ertz becomes big trade bait.
Oh, yeah. While his value is still high.
The next, the first five or six games is going to determine the future of Zach Ertz. And if the Eagles aren't fighting or contending for a playoff spot, he's going to be traded. I hate to say it. I know he's the hero of the Super Bowl win and everything like that, but what is it? The Patriots. I think you always mentioned one of the best things the Patriots do is they jettison players right before they have that career dip. Yep. And to me, when Ertz leaves, when Ertz finishes this contract, he's going to be 32.
Yep.
It doesn't sound to me like he's going to be ascending in his athletic prowess. It's going to be probably on the decline. And you have Dallas Goedert ready to go in the wings, and
They really like him.
Last season, he really proved his mettle. He showed he was a very respectable follow up to Zach Ertz. It's not going to surprise me if the Eagles start off in a hole to start off this season, I think Zach Ertz is going to get traded.
I think potentially even without starting in a hole, I mean, you're running the risk of having to sign both these guys at the same time. So a decision's going to be made by the end of the season one way or the other, because Dallas Goedert's rookie contract is up in 2021. They have to extend him because he has the potential to be the next Zach Ertz. He has the same sort of play style, but he's even a better blocker than Zach Ertz. So he has potentially more upside. Meanwhile, Zach Ertz is arguably, you know, the third best tight end in the league. So he knows what he's worth. He's worth at least Kelce money, maybe not Kittle money, but Kelce money, definitely. So the Eagles are in a really tough position here. And the fact that they haven't gotten something done leads me to believe that they're heading in the direction that you suggest. They could easily trade him for maybe a second round pick, you know, and use that capital, bring in some young players. The Eagles are going to be potentially $70 million over the cap next year.
Yeah.
You know, if the cap gets reduced, which every indication points to it being reduced next year, they're going to have to shed a lot of capital. One of those players is going to be Alshon Jeffrey. They'll get rid of him, save a bunch of space. But another casualty might be Zach Ertz as well. So I think at some point in the season, I think regardless of win-loss record, we're going to hear some murmurs and rumors about potentially moving Zach Ertz. Now, if they look like they have a chance to really push deep into the playoffs, it'll probably happen after the season. But I think that's what where they're leaning, one way or the other. The fact they haven't gotten anything done.
Yeah, but I think it's going to heavily rely on the first couple of games this season. Eagles start off 1-5, that or you know something like that, 2-5, 2-6.
If they're losing, if they're losing, it's going to expedite that process.
Right.
But I think one way or the other, after this season, Zach Ertz probably won't be in an Eagles uniform.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's just the way the nature of the business is. I mean, football is – the NFL is set up this way to have a strict salary cap. Yeah. And we're already paying too many people. So – And at least it's at a position where we do have somebody waiting in the wings to take over. So
right. It'll be tough to see Zach Ertz go, but Dallas Goedert has proved that he can step up and fill that role. And he can block as well.
Yeah.
So if Dallas Goedert comes out and plays a great season, I mean, look what happened when Zach Ertz came in behind Brent Celek. You saw that slow transition of responsibilities. This might be that type of year. They might feature Dallas Goedert a little bit more, you know, to get him more into things. So it'll be a very interesting position battle and contract negotiation to watch throughout the season.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the age-old topic of Eagles injuries. There's various Eagles dealing with injuries heading into the season. I mean, nothing's happened yet, and already we're injured. But one player who I'm excited to see had full participation in practice this week was first-round wide receiver Jalen Reagor. Might be ready to go on Sunday. That's really exciting news. I cannot wait to see this kid in action, to see him paired up with DeSean Jackson and watch Carson Wentz throw some bombs. But in general, Rich, how are you feeling about the Eagles roster heading into the season? I mean, we haven't really had a chance to talk about where we stand as a team yet. There's been so much going on in sports and the world in general. It kept getting pushed back. But, like, what's your take on how we stand, the offense, the defense? Do we get better? Do we get worse? It's weird that this is the first we're talking about it this year.
Yeah, it feels strange, right?
Well, the season caught me off guard. I, like, looked at the schedule and, like, oh, there's a football game tonight.
Yeah, I had my fantasy football draft, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to get ready for that.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles are still going to be in that middling territory, you know, where...
10-6.
Yeah, 9-7.
Okay.
You know, they may slide into that special extended seventh playoff slot. And then who knows, you go from there. But I don't know if this team can contend, especially with, you know, the Cowboys getting really strong this year. I hate to say it because I hate the Cowboys with a passion. But the Cowboys are going to light it up this year. There's so many offensive weapons for Dak. a matter of fact, if that falls on its face, that would be even more hilarious and shows you that Dak shouldn't get a long-term contract, which would be hilarious. But for the Eagles, I don't know. I see them just slightly above average, you know, middling 9-7 and me grabbing onto one of those wild card spots and just seeing what happens from there.
Yeah, you know, I have to say I'm probably a little bit more optimistic, but there is still area for concern. There's a lot of question marks at various positions. On the offensive line, we have some key injuries. You know, Andre Dillard was supposed to start at left tackle. He went down. Brandon Brooks, probably the best right guard in the game. He's out. And for once, we don't have a lot of depth at these positions. We brought Jason Peters back on the verge of retirement to fill in at guard and then swap him back to left tackle. So, and then after him, if you look at the depth chart, it's the same guy as the backup for the two guard spots in the center. Like, they're actually really thin on offensive line. On the other side of the ball, we have Jalen Mills switching to safety. And I know that's what I think he played in college.
Yeah.
He's a bit slower on the outside, so it might benefit his style of play. He's a bit tougher. He's a bit slower. We have a new corner in Darius Slay, who's supposed to be one of the best. But with the weird offseason, we don't know how that's going to transition to actual gameplay. Then on offense, the wide receivers are a huge question mark. I'm really excited to see Jalen Reagor, but he's a rookie. Then you got Alshon constantly injured. DeSean Jackson, who is healthy the entire offseason, if he can maintain that, we should be amazing. But again, a big question mark for a mid-30s
undersized
receiver.
Let's just save the topic of DeSean Jackson's health for after the first game of the season, okay?
Yeah. He always shows up for at least one.
Yeah. And then everything goes to crap.
So there's a lot of question marks, but I still see a lot of raw talent on this team. If all the players who are supposed to be good step up and actually perform, there's a lot of raw talent. The question is whether they can pull it together and maintain that consistency, you know, whether they can stay healthy. That's been the big topic the past several years. We've had the training and the health staff swapped out, I think it's like two times in Doug Peterson's tenure as head coach. You know, so it's clearly an issue that the Eagles have been plagued with. So
and now you're adding the possibility of coronavirus too.
Right, exactly. So it's like all this raw talent, because we have very talented players at a lot of positions, but it's just can they actually produce?
Yeah.
How they're supposed to.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I still think they have a shot at 10-6. I still think they have a shot at the division, but it's going to be a tough season.
Yeah.
For many different reasons. But since we're looking ahead, Rich, why don't we dive into this next segment? The segment that we have, it's one of our favorite segments in years past. It's a little bit different now that we're doing this virtually. But every week during the NFL season, we pick the four best games, and we give you our picks on who we think is going to win. We call it the Fantastic Four Picks. This is week one. There's no music to cue us in.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, sorry.
I know. I'm not used to not having the music.
I know. But, yeah, these are the sacrifices we've had to make to continue the Crispy Compact communique.
We make do, right?
Yeah.
We're warriors. Just like this first game on our docket is a classic rivalry. The Green Bay Packers are traveling to Minnesota to face off against the Vikings. It's a classic matchup. It's a Sunday, 1 o'clock game. Rich, who do you got in this? You got Aaron Rodgers or you got that other guy?
Did you really just lead with that? And the other guy, Kirk Cousins.
I didn't even say his name. How dare you?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
I think you know which way I'm going.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting matchup. The thing I would kind of be down on with the Vikings is they lost Stephon Diggs in the offseason.
Big blow.
I wonder how that's going to affect Kirk Cousins. I know they drafted a wide receiver, but he'll be a rookie. I don't know if you can get ready to trust him immediately in week one. You're going to see a lot of my arguments for week one is going to be who's got stability. And Green Bay, you've got Aaron Rodgers, you got Aaron Jones, Davante Adams, same head coach from last year. And Green Bay, actually recently, they've been playing a little bit better on the road, which is weird. They used to be more of a home-focused team at Lambeau. So you know what? I'm going to go Green Bay in this opening matchup.
Yeah, I completely agree. When you think about consistency, you think Green Bay Packers. I mean, nobody's been more consistent at it than that team this past decade. So I don't see anything changing here. I mean, how much of this is bias against Kirk Cousins? I don't know. Probably like 90% of it. But I like the Packers in this matchup, definitely, for all those reasons. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be a theme this week going through these games. Who has more consistency? Which brings us to this interesting rivalry right here, a new era in the AFC East division. The Miami Dolphins facing off against the New England Patriots for the first time without Tom Brady. Rich, the Dolphins have a chance here of upsetting the Patriots week one without Tom Brady.
They do. This Dolphins team actually got better towards the end of last season. They beat the Eagles in a stunner.
They were supposed to be tanking. They really pulled it together, surprisingly.
Yeah. And they've got Fitzmagic back as their starting quarterback. So it's a possibility. And for some odd reason, Bill Belichick also has a weird dilemma when it comes to Dolphins games. They always seem to eke one out on them. But in this case, I'm going to go Bill Belichick. He is the evil emperor, Emperor Palpatine. And he's been so quiet about the whole quarterback situation. There's something up. I don't know what exactly it is. I don't know if he's ready to roll with Cam Newton or anything, or he wants Cam Newton to fly under the radar. But he has really not, like, I don't want to say praised, because Bill Belichick never praises anybody, but he's not very
he hasn't talked him up a lot.
Yeah, right. You would think for a new quarterback coming out, a new quarterback trying to fill the shoes of a legend, you would think, right, you would kind of want to talk him a little bit. Bill Belichick has been mum on it, so I don't know. I think there's something there where I think Belichick is he wants to prove everybody wrong, and there's going to be something with this system. So I'm very interested to see it. I'm going to go with Patriots, especially at home too. That's also easier for them.
Interesting. You know what? I'm very split on this one, because you know I normally defer to the Patriots, but we've never seen a Patriots team without Tom Brady. No, that's not true. We've seen Patriots teams without Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick got it done with second and third string quarterbacks. This is a really tough one, because I'm so close to picking the Dolphins. You don't like it. I think people aren't giving this game the proper weight that it deserves. Like, I think it could be much closer than people anticipate, because having a new quarterback, I mean, I know it's Bill Belichick, and I know he's got it done before, but those were guys who were in the system that had proper off seasons. This is Cam Newton, who was sort of declining. He lost his starting job in Carolina. Then he comes to New England, completely different offense, completely different coaches, and a weird off season. Meanwhile, the Dolphins stayed relatively much the same as they were last year. The Dolphins always give the Patriots trouble. So it's like this weird, I could honestly see it going either way. I'm going to go with the Patriots, I think. No, Rich, honestly, I know you think that's an easy decision, but I was this close to taking the Dolphins. I'm not fully convinced.
Okay.
I think, I'm going to go Patriots, but don't be surprised if the Dolphins eke it out.
The Dolphins always give Bill Belichick a little bit of trouble, so it wouldn't be surprising if it's closer than people expect.
It could be an upset.
Yeah.
Could be an upset. Keep an eye on it. But we focus on one half of the split couple there in Belichick in New England, but let's go to the other side. Tom Brady, a new look Buccaneers team, traveling to New Orleans to face off against the division rival Saints. Rich, who do you got in this one?
I got Saints in this one, and I'm really surprised that this is kind of being split down the middle.
People think the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl, Rich.
They do. And maybe if they gel together and they really start clicking, that's a chance. But folks, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve with Brady playing his first NFL game out of New England, and with this whole squad of new teammates other than Gronk. I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve here. On the other hand, Saints, you still got Breeze. Kamara said he's still going to play even if the contract thing isn't resolved.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of those, again, to go back to my original argument, same quarterback, same wide receiver, same running back, same head coach. That gets a big bump. I'm going with, and they're home. It's going to be Saints.
Yeah, when I saw the reports that a lot of people thought the Bucs could make it deep into the playoffs, potentially, but there's so many unknowns. I just saw another report that Tom Brady is still learning the playbook heading into week one. I know he's Tom Brady, but he's not invincible, you know? And I think it's one thing when we look at the Patriots and Belichick, you know, it's his playbook. It's his system. He can modify his system for the players. Tom Brady's not modifying the Buccaneer system. He has to find a way to assimilate to that system. You know, so I think it's harder for a quarterback going to a new team than it is for a coach to bring in a new quarterback. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for that reason, I think at least week one, you got to go with the Saints at home because, like we've been talking about, consistency, right? And I don't believe the Buccaneers going deep into the playoffs talk. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't know. People are too eager to crown them Super Bowl champions before week one, before we really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the safe bet with the Saints.
Yep.
And finally, we have our very own hometown Eagles in a division matchup against the Washington football team. I sound like a 90s video football video game announcer.
Yeah.
The home team versus
the away team.
Football team. Rich, who do you got here? The team with an actual name or the team with no name? Talk about consistency. They don't even have a name. It's Eagles, Rich. It's Eagles all the way.
It better be.
It should be.
Actually, there's a little bit of concern here. The original opening line for this game, I think, was 7.5. And the line dipped now to 5.5 last time I checked. So
they don't even have a name. They don't have a name. Their owner is about to get removed.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
So I don't know who's drinking the Washington Kool-Aid, but this really should be Eagles. Even with no preseason, they should be able to handle this team. It's a really bad sign if the Eagles come out flat and lay a dud in Washington. There's gonna be a lot of backlash to start off the season if that happens. Oh, yeah. So I'm going with the Eagles.
I mean, look, DeSean Jackson's healthy. All he needs is the one game. This is the one game. He'll do what he did last time, and he'll have two crazy touchdowns, and we'll win the game. Easy as that. He'll then get injured, and we'll proceed to finish the season 8-8. And sneak into the playoffs and promptly be eliminated in the wild card. I've just predicted the entire Eagles. I'm kidding. But they should at least win this game. That much I can predict. I'm going with the Eagles. I think it should be an easy one.
All right. And there you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number one of the NFL season. Yeah, that's how you know it's back, folks. Got the fantastic four picks. All right. Now let's switch from sports to entertainment. Before we get into some current news, there was something that happened before the Labor Day break that really shook the movie world, and it seemed to have come out of nowhere. But unfortunately, that was that Chadwick Boseman, the actor that played Black Panther, passed away from his battle with cancer so young. I think it was 42, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, early 40s.
Yeah.
It was 43, really shocking. 43. It was really shocking. I remember I found out it was late the night that it happened, and I was just, you know, sitting on the couch watching TV or whatever, and I see a tweet come through, and somebody said, "Oh my God, I can't believe it." And it was linked to the announcement that Chadwick Boseman had passed away, and I'm like, "Oh, this is a hoax." That was my first reaction. It's a hoax. And then I checked and it was the official Twitter page for Chadwick Boseman. I was like, "Oh my God, it's actually real." It was so sudden because he was diagnosed in 2016 and kept it private for 4 years while he was filming all his Marvel films, while he was doing the circuit, going to hospitals to visit with sick children, all while, you know, secretly battling his own illness. I mean, he played a hero on screen, but that's heroic actions in real life too, I think. It's just remarkable. I think it's a pretty big loss, honestly, because what he did in the superhero movie genre, I think he was the first or one of the first black lead actors to play a headlining superhero. And it can't be understated the type of representation he brought to the screen. I mean, you think of superheroes in general, they're people that look like us, you know. There's not a lot of female superheroes getting leading roles. There's not a lot of minority superheroes getting leading roles. And Black Panther changed that, made Hollywood realize that it can be profitable to put it into dollars and cents, but that it inspired a whole generation. You know, it gave children everywhere someone to look up to. So it's really powerful. And I don't think it can be understated what he accomplished there. And I think, you know, the movie in general was just fantastic. I think it was much needed for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it's going to be a big loss to them, but a big loss to entertainment in general to lose somebody like that. I mean, he played so many historic characters, Jackie Robinson, and now I'm blanking on the other.
Vontae Mack.
What?
Vontae Mack. The one in the draft day.
I don't know.
Yeah, no matter Vontae Mack, no matter what.
So you played him,
yeah.
But I mean, he had a lot of big roles, and so it's just going to be a loss in the entertainment industry, I think.
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, yeah, this definitely hurts, especially for fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and any moviegoer. You know, he was in a lot of good movies. To me, yeah, the thing that gets me is the fact he kept this private. And one of the tribute videos I saw was he was visiting kids in hospitals that had cancer.
Yeah.
But he never wanted to portray himself as the victim either. So it's like double hero status.
Yeah.
You know, he still kept on doing what he wanted to do, but also still took the time to help others that were in his same shoes and were less fortunate. So yeah. it was definitely something that just tugged at my heartstrings and just sad to report.
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. And those other roles that I was thinking of are James Brown and Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah.
So lots of historic black roles that he played. But to your point about visiting the children, I think it's really amazing that he kept it private, because he knew that the conversation would have been, oh my gosh, it's so sad, how are you dealing with it, rather than the conversation of what he was accomplishing in film for diversity and for minority characters.
Yeah, you know? That's another thing too, is I'm not familiar with this, so you're gonna have to forgive me on it, but the new Marvel film with the Kung Fu Master.
Oh yeah. I can't remember the name.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm blanking on it right now.
Shang-Chi or something like that,
I think. The actor that's portraying him gave massive props to Chadwick Boseman, because literally, if it wasn't for Black Panther, there would be no
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, yeah.
That would not be in production.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I think that's what I mean by it can't be understated. Like, what Black Panther did for Hollywood in helping them realize that, you know, not every hero has to be every man USA. You know, how many Indiana Joneses and Chris Pratts do we have? You know, it's very refreshing to see more diversity and more representation in film. And Chadwick Boseman smashed through those barriers by playing roles like Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Thurgood Marshall, and Black Panther. So yeah, you're right. Shang-Chi wouldn't happen. And there's a whole generation of young kids from underrepresented minority communities that have a hero to look up to. You know, we had our Batman and Spider-Man, and now they have Black Panther, you know? And it's, we never really think about it. Like, we always had heroes that we could relate to, but there's a whole portion of the population that didn't. And they did with Chadwick Boseman. So it's a big loss, both in entertainment and culturally. It's just sad the way that it happened, but a true hero on and off the screen.
Yes, indeed. So unfortunately, that was some sad news that we knew we had to at least mention on our first episode back in action. All right, so now let's get to the current news that we do have on tap. We have some video game news for the next generation. Xbox has made their move on the chess piece against their battle with Sony. Mike, care to take it away from there?
Yeah. So like you said, Microsoft finally made the first move after tons of leaks happened last week. They're like, well, I guess we got to release some news. And so they officially revealed the price and release date for their two consoles that are launching this holiday season, the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S. The next generation of games officially begins on November 10th. Pre-orders are opening on September 22nd. The Xbox Series X is coming in at a surprisingly affordable $500, and the Xbox Series S, which is the diskless, less powerful version, will be releasing at $300. So Microsoft has made a very interesting play here. They have their high-end true next-gen console releasing at what everybody expected it would release at. But then the Series X console, which people might not realize, it's not only diskless, but it's actually less powerful. It has lowered internal specs, less hard drive space for $300. So they're creating this interesting option for consumers. They can go full next gen, or they can sort of straddle the middle ground between current gen and next gen for a very attractive entry price.
Yeah, it sounds like a weird half measure or something.
Yeah, but you have to admit here that, so we're very in the know in terms of video games, but you have to imagine a parent going into a store and they just want the new Xbox.
Yeah, just give me whatever the new console is.
They want the Nintendo. They want the new Nintendo. And that's when every system is Nintendo to these parents. So they have the option between a $500 Xbox that plays all the next-gen games, or a $300 Xbox, which plays, quote-unquote, all the next-gen games, just at lower visual fidelity and with less storage space. It's a very interesting ploy that Microsoft is using here to try and sway some bargain-minded gamers to their side of things. But they're also offering some interesting financing options. This is something Xbox has been pushing, and I'm actually kind of worried about this in video games because I don't want it to go the same route as phones. But they have, you can buy the systems with monthly payments. So you can pay $25 a month for the Series S over the course of 24 months, or $35 per month for the Series X for 24 months. And that gets you the system, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which includes Xbox Live Gold, which is, you know, PlayStation Plus. It gets you the free games, online play, et cetera, et cetera. And Game Pass, which is the game streaming / Netflix of games service that Microsoft has. It also gets you EA Play, which is basically EA's version of a Netflix for specific EA games. So it's an attractive offer, but I don't know that I like this way of doing things, because while it seems attractive in the moment, after those 2 years, you have to start subscribing to Xbox Live and Game Pass on their own. So it's a little misleading. And when you do the math, I think it's like $840 over the course of the 2 years for one of the new consoles. Granted, it's like, I think it's like $20 cheaper than paying for everything separately, but you know, do you need it all? You know what I mean? It's an interesting thing, and I get it. Budget-minded people, it might be easier to tolerate $25 a month than $300 or $500 up front. But I just personally, I don't like the idea of monthly installments. I like to just go into the store, buy my console, and then that's my console for the next 7 years. You know? It also invites the possibility of mid-cycle upgrades, you know, like the PlayStation 4 Pro and the Xbox One X. And I feel this push towards this TikTok update cycle.
Yeah.
You know, the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 5.5, the Series X, the Series X2. I don't know.
Microsoft and Sony better be careful in terms of those micro updates. Because if they do that, then people are just going to go to PC. That you'd be better off just saving your money and creating your own custom gaming PC at that rate. Unless you keep exclusives, but that seems to only be Sony's.
That's only a Sony thing.
Yeah, Sony is right. So I'm going to actually randomly borrow a page out of Dave Ramsey's book. He does a great podcast and YouTube channel for finance and everything. If anybody is offering you some sort of finance plan, they are trying to con you. There is something built into it that they are trying that to have you alleviate your concerns with a low monthly payment, and then you're getting screwed on either the interest rate or the actual product itself. There, something is not right if somebody is encouraging you to do a finance plan.
It's still not clear if gamers have to trade in the console at the end of the 2 years. Seriously.
Oh, my God. At that rate, it's a car lease. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That there's a little bit of confusion. Like, do you trade it in? Do you get to keep it? Is it, like, paid off? Like, there's a little bit of confusion. And granted, I haven't read enough about it. But, like, just the fact that there's confusion online, it's a little troubling.
Yeah. So do me a favor. Don't even think about this. Just don't. There will be people that are going to do this. So...
And it's all done in the hopes of swaying people over to the Xbox side of things. It's no secret that PlayStation 4 won this generation of consoles. I mean, you know, they're on pace to potentially catch up to the historic PlayStation 2 in terms of units sold. So Xbox is looking for a way to drive more people to their console. But also, I think it's interesting here, you see in their strategy, they really want to get people to buy the services. They want people to buy Game Pass and Ultimate Game Pass and Xbox Live. And that's where the $300 console comes in. The $300 console and the $25 a month. It's all to get people to subscribe to the services, because after the 2 years, after the console's paid off, they're still making the money on those services. They see that as the future of games. They want to be able to sell a cheap console with no disc drive and have people download or stream games, you know, one or two at a time. Whereas you see Sony's strategy is investing heavily in exclusives. They're showing Horizon Zero Dawn 2. They're showing Spider-Man Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank, Gran Turismo, exclusive, exclusive, exclusive. Two wildly different strategies. Sony's is more traditional. Microsoft is very forward thinking. Last generation, it didn't work. Could this generation be the one where we finally see it gain some ground on the traditional game model? Because more people, most game sales are now digital. Xbox had it right. They just executed it poorly last generation. Do you think that this new pricing structure might sway the tide of things?
Well, I really hope not this monthly installment system. That sounds more like a damn, you know, car lease or something like that.
I don't like that. But what about the $300 console?
But to have, like, the different tiers... I can see that because, yeah, like you said, like you get a parent who's not really into video games, they just see, oh, hey, this one is more affordable for my kid for Christmas, and I'll just take that one. So, makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, overall for gamers, I think this is good for consumers because now you have consoles at every price point. You know, you have the previous generation probably dropped down to 200. You have the new Xbox at 300 and 500. You have the Switch at 300. You have the new PlayStation going to be who knows what it'll be. And that's the other issue here, is that Xbox has made their move. Now all the eyes are on Sony. Previous rumors, people have been speculating as high as $600. So when the Xbox Series X announced it's 500, even I saw that and was like, okay, good. Hopefully this, you know, forces Sony to keep the price reasonable. There was a lot of concern, as we've talked about, that it was going to be very expensive. which is why these companies were waiting so long. But now I think Sony's really going to want to match the $500 price point. I don't see them launching higher than the Xbox Series X. It would be a death sentence after the goodwill that PlayStation 4 had.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how Sony responds in this chess game towards the next generation of video games.
Yeah, we'll definitely hear something by September 22nd when pre-orders open, because Sony will want to get the word out before people get a chance to pre-order their competitor's console. You know, it's like, yeah, you can pre-order that, but hold on. We got our own stuff coming out soon. So before the 22nd, we'll definitely hear something.
Yeah. All right, and one more piece of entertainment news. This is something that is, you know, a franchise that we have been following since we first started the Crispy Noodle podcast, and that is the TV show The Walking Dead. AMC has announced that the show itself, the main show, The Walking Dead, is going to end. But then they also announced that there's going to be spinoffs. So is it really the end of The Walking Dead?
So The Walking Dead, much like the title suggests, will live on forever and ever until it's shot in the head.
Yeah.
The main series is ending after its 11th season, which will end in late 2022. But like you said, they announced some spinoffs. So the franchise lives on in, you know, first they have those movies coming out. Who knows when? One is supposed to be about Rick Grimes. We'll see. But these two spinoffs they just announced, one is focused on Daryl and Carol, set to premiere in 2023. I think that might be up your alley, Rich.
I do like Daryl and Carol.
It's also kind of spoilery, because does that mean they both end up surviving the events of the main series if there's a spinoff?
Unless it's a prequel.
Potentially. I hate prequels.
Because weren't they together in the original encampment?
No. Well, yes, they were in the same group, but not... I see what you mean. They weren't together.
Right? Not romantically, but right. When we first meet that camper group.
Yeah.
They were in that group.
So it could be a prequel. That's true. See the world from a different perspective, because when we find Rick Grimes, the world had already ended.
Right.
You know, so we could see it ending and how they ended up in the group. That's true. The other series they announced, which I actually think sounds pretty cool, is an anthology series called Tales of the Walking Dead. And this is described as, quote, an episodic anthology with individual episodes or arcs of episodes focused on new or existing characters, backstories, or other standalone experiences. This opens the door to have stories on characters who may have died previously in the main series. This could be very interesting. I kind of like the idea of self-contained stories, because we've seen how well they handled the larger arcs, not well. So maybe keeping things to an episode or two arc might be more beneficial for the writers and the showrunners. What do you think about this concept, an anthology show?
I think it would have to depend on the character. You know, do you really want to know more about whatever the character is? If it's, you know, somebody that was kind of a badass or somebody, you know, that left a mark, the governor, something like that, I would be interested in seeing that. But, I mean, if it's just any Joe that they just randomly pull out and be like, hey, remember he was on the show for, like, four episodes? Hey, let's do an anthology on him. Like,
yeah, no. It's like, remember Bob? Here's an episode, you know, on generic character number one.
Yeah, remember that annoying son that gets shivved by Negan? Hey, let's do three episodes about him. Like, no, I don't really care about him.
Yeah. On the other hand, I could see them doing a brief arc on, like, maybe a Negan backstory, because I know from reading the comics, he has an interesting backstory that hasn't really been touched upon in the show. So I think there's a lot of potential there, but like you said, it all comes down to the execution.
Yeah.
So a lot of Walking Dead news recently. I'm torn. The show used to be really, really good. The first five seasons were really good. And then it sort of tailspinned, and I know it's brought it back the past two seasons. I've been following it the whole time, but it's really dipped in quality from those first handful of seasons. So I'm glad that they're finally putting it out the pasture, and hopefully with an end in sight, they'll be able to craft a story and an experience that doesn't feel like it's just being strung along. I feel like they just put a bunch of random stuff in there to fill out seasons and drag it on. Hopefully now there's an end in sight. They can actually create a story with direction.
Yeah.
You know, they have 24 episodes to do it, and the 11th season is going to be huge, 24 episodes. But again, it will finally come to an end, the 11th season in 2022. But lots of other Walking Dead content to come if you're still somehow a fan like I am.
Yeah. So there you go. The Walking Dead, not really ending, but it is the main show coming to an end with that news. All right, so that's all the entertainment news for you, but we got one last bit to go over. We got some odd news here for you. Always good to get some odd news. And in this story, guess what, Mike? It is a Florida story.
Of course it is. Who is this effing guy in Florida? It's Florida, and they're crazy.
That's right. And if you've been following us on our social media page, you know that I found some Florida man beer. So that
was good.
Did you
actually try it?
No, I actually didn't. But it was
Rich.
It was there. It's there in the stores, available for pickup. So
you're killing me, Rich. You didn't even try it. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Nah, it wouldn't have been good. It would have tasted like Florida Man.
Yeah, first off, I don't really want to drink something labeled Florida Man after our 8-year history with the show.
No, it's just poop and drugs.
But also, I saw on the label it was a double double IPA or something like that, and I'm not a big fan of
IPA. Big fan myself. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I wouldn't really go for that.
But tastes like gator piss.
But for those that love IPAs, yeah, go check that out and tell us if you like that beer, Florida Man. But actually, this story is a Florida woman.
Oh, Florida Bowman.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, why is it Florida Man? Women can have stories, too.
Yeah, that's right. Equality.
Yeah, come on. This is 2020.
That's right.
Well, this lady has a good entry here. After taking a sex toy from a shelf at a Florida adult novelty store, a woman removed her clothes and began using the pink-colored device inside the business, according to cops.
Well, she had to test it out.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong there.
Yeah, she thought she could get a free demo.
A free demo. Oh, wait, she didn't buy it yet.
No, she didn't buy it, no.
Uh-huh. Oh, she just walked in, and she's like, well, I need to know if it does the trick.
Yeah, so get the batteries going. There we go.
Batteries going. No.
So a cop was dispatched early Tuesday evening to the Lion's Den Adult Superstore. The Lion's Den.
Ooh.
A good name. Lion's Den.
Ooh. That is a good name. And it's a superstore.
And it's
just a regular store. It's super.
Right. Super. Superstore.
So let me get this straight. So she just took it off the shelf and she's just like, this is as good a place as any. Did she go to a back room? Did she hide in the corner? Or was it like just right there?
Okay, so let's get the actual play-by-play here.
Yeah, I need the details.
So before the officer arrived, a worker at the superstore explained that the suspect walked up and removed a sex toy from the packaging. So there you go. Just, I got to try this out.
Right.
If I'm going to buy this, I got to try this.
If you're going to spend your hard-earned cash, you got to know what you're getting.
Yeah. Then she got fully nude.
Okay.
So this is how I'm going to use the object. I'm not going to have any clothes on when I use the object as well.
Exactly. So, I like that fact that she stripped down completely. She didn't just like go up the skirt or down the pants. She took everything off.
Yeah. This is how I'm going to use the device. I need to see how it will respond in appropriate situations.
Exactly.
So then she took the sex toy and walked into a back stock room.
Okay, so at least she didn't do it in the middle I was curious if she just started doing it right there in the middle of the store, but she walked into the back.
But she got naked first.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So did she just leave her clothes in a pile on the floor?
Yeah, and then be like, be right back. I got to go try this out.
So somebody else walking around, they're like, hey, there's just a pile of clothes here in the middle of the store.
Yeah, be right back.
Yeah, she should have done that in the room.
Yeah.
I guess, you know what she did? She took the clothes off. She's like, wait a second. This is a little embarrassing. And then she went to the back room.
That part's a little embarrassing.
She had that moment of realization where it kicks in. She's like, hold on. This is weird.
This is a little embarrassing. Okay. So the cop then arrived. The cop entered the stock room and found 36-year-old Teresa Stanley sitting in one of the office chairs with her feet up. She had the pink-colored sex toy in her hand and was using the device in a masturbatory manner.
Ooh.
What a fancy word. That's
so official.
Yeah. Masturbatory manner.
Right.
That's very official.
It's so clinical. It sounds worse when it's clinical like that.
It sounds like a really bad sitcom. The Masturbatory Manor.
What is this show about, Rich? I'm curious.
I don't know. Like,
that's a weird sitcom.
Weird hijinks at the Lion's Den Superstore.
Weird is right.
Yeah. So right after the cop made his presence known, that's when Stanley stopped making use of the sex toy.
Well,
yeah, that would ruin the mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could, you know,
Pop's that's just like, excuse me.
Yeah. Sorry. Stanley was arrested for theft and indecent exposure. They're both misdemeanors. So she was able to get out on a $1,500 bond.
It's nothing.
Yeah. So she's A-okay. Here we go. I have her picture as is customary. Boy. Whoa, there she is. There, yeah, she's at the Lion's Den Superstore, ready to go.
And she's an Eagles fan, too, apparently. Well, based on the background.
Yeah, she's a fan of many things.
Oh, yeah. Yikes. I mean, man.
She looks I hate to say it, she does.
Could you imagine walking in on that?
She I hate to say it, she does look like she could, use something to make her happy. She looks very depressed in this photo. She doesn't.
That's true. Yeah. You know what?
She's not very happy in this photo.
You're right. Just give it to her.
Yeah. At this rate,
Let her have it.
Right. You know, she's having a really rough day. She's not sure if the sex toy is going to be, you know, what she wants. Just give it to her.
So kind of you, Rich.
I'm looking out for people.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
2020, Rich Liebig, looking out for people.
I'm looking out for people. Here, have this sex toy.
Yeah. Complimentary sex toy. There you go.
No. That sounds terrible. I don't trust that at all. If somebody was like, here, take this, it's on the house, I'd be like, no, that's okay. You keep it.
Yeah, it's on the house. Take it.
It's on the house. It's like, why is it out of its packaging?
Yeah, so... All right, so there you go. That's your odd news nugget for the week. Before we officially wrap it up, Mike, you have any apocalypse activities you want to mention?
No.
Yeah, I mean, because you know what it is?
I've run out of stuff to do.
It's football. It's football time.
Yeah,
It's time to get ready for the Eagles. If you're doing fantasy football, it's time to get ready for fantasy football. And I'm ready to go. I think it's going to be an interesting season to follow, to say the least.
I hope we can make it the whole season. I really do. But my weekends are going to be a lot of football, and it's just you know what? It's finally getting to the point where it's starting to be fall. You know,
yeah.
It's like the temperatures. I was just looking at the temperatures. They're going to start dipping a little bit. You know, the girlfriend is already decorating for the fall. She's got the pumpkins out and everything, and you know, you get this. You know, tasty like pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh yeah, pumpkin spice is already out there.
Pumpkin beers and pumpkin pie and pumpkin everything. So you know, hot chocolate and football and I'm ready for fall weather is what I'm saying.
Yeah, me too. So yeah. There you go. Apocalypse activity, simply just football and the fall season. We'll take it like that.
That's a nice activity.
Yeah. Actually, it's kind of a good thing we left it at that, because we are over our time and it's time to wrap up this episode. Thank you guys for listening to the Crispy Compact Communique. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure you're following us on all the Who Dingies out there, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram.
Who Dingies? Are you like 70, Rich?
Yes, I jumped right to 70, just straight up there. There you go. So yeah, make sure you're following us on all the hoopla.
That's right. You can also find video versions of this podcast, if you want to see the insanity, on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel there. But if you want to get the audio version of the podcast, you can still get that on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast there, and you get a brand new episode downloaded every week. What was that?
I forgot. I wanted to mention something. The Apple Podcast is now available on Amazon devices.
Oh,
so if you have Amazon devices in your house, and maybe you're doing stuff around the house, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're doing something, and you want to listen to the Crispy Noodle Podcast, you can command your device and say, listen to the Crispy Noodle, play the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and it will play.
There you go. So many ways to listen to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Where
AI is going to get us. It's going to get us now.
That's right. We're beamed straight into your house. You can't escape the Crispy Noodle Podcast. So many ways to get to share and get in touch with us and listen to us. But if you want to listen, if you want to, oh my God, I can't talk. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, you can find us there. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can tweet at us. Let us know what you thought of the show. Let us know if there's topics you want us to cover. Anything, let us know. Yeah. We check the Twitters and the Instagrams and the social media hoomdingers, and we'll go from there.
And whatsits and whatchamacallits and widgets and
right,
all howitzers, those great things. And,
yeah, we'll just go from there. But for right now, we got to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Compact Communique, the 2020 version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Anything else, Mike? I think we're good.
No, that's it. Everybody, enjoy the first weekend of football.
That's right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later! Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Robert Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.